Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
So, Osama bin Laden is supposedly dead.
Yeah, he's dead, and it's weird. They seem to have changed the story a few times. And what's with dumping the body in the sea?
I think it sounds like destroying evidence. Same with burning his compound. And why do they always call it a compound? I mean, they use that word in Ruby Ridge and in Waco. I think a compound is the home of someone that's not liked by the government. They always call it a compound.
When they say compound, that means they're allowed to murder whoever's inside of it.
Right.
That's their code word.
Including UBL. That's the CIA code name for Osama bin Laden. I always like that because it sounds like a techno group.
UBL. Yeah, I could see that. It could be a hip-hop name, too.
Yeah. It could be a gay hip-hop group, Under Brother Lovers. No homo. I mean, homo. So I just think they created a martyr, you know? I mean, it's like they spent billions of dollars to go out and get this one guy. It didn't change anything. I mean, I actually saw someone.
It's like more than a trillion, isn't it?
Trillions, yeah. And I actually saw someone on MSNBC the day after it happened saying, the war on terror is over. I'm like, what?
Don't we all wish? See, I would be out there cheering in the streets if that were the effect of this. If I actually thought that they were going to end the wars and end the Patriot Act, then I'd be cheering too.
The cheering in the streets just looked like bleating sheep to me.
Exactly. What did you say? It was like the AK dance without the AKs.
It's like seeing all these 20-year-old college students supposedly spontaneously erupting in front of the White House, although I think that was probably, you know, some slick twittering by some people pretending to be citizens, but probably the government twittering and tweeting and Facebooking to get them all out there. But, you know, just seeing them in the street going, USA, USA, just reminded me of people in the Middle East doing what we call the AK dance, which is where you point your AK up in the air and fire it and yell.
Yeah. Well, they actually, here in Washington, in Walla Walla, they did a spontaneous victory parade because they were inspired by those events. So across the nation, you know, people are sort of celebrating this death. But there are some bad things about it, aren't there, Michael? As far as what it means for the rule of law?
Well, for one thing, and they keep changing their story, but they said that UBL used one of his wives as a human shield and that she got shot was what I heard on the news. So, you know, isn't that a war crime? That's killing an unarmed civilian.
Actually, I think they went back on that and said there was no woman or there was no human shield. It's hard to tell where they're really at, and it's hard to know what actually happened. They won't release the video. They won't release the pictures. And so really any talk about what actually happened has to come secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand.
Well, I think that part of it too is that part of the reason they're not releasing that is because it might violate the Geneva Convention of keeping war trophies, you know, like keeping ears and scalps and stuff, that it could be considered that.
Right, because the U.S. loves following Geneva Conventions.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The big point, I think, is that now it's policy so out there and nobody's questioning it that the president can just pretty much kill whoever he wants. I mean, I know this is Osama bin Laden, but at the same time, there should have been something, a trial. They should have at least captured him.
Well, it sounds like they're saying that they and don't get me wrong. I'm not weeping over the guy being dead. But it sounds like they're kind of fluffing and folding and changing the story on that, too, of was he armed, was he not armed, did they intend to try to take him alive? I think they intentionally didn't want to take him alive. I think it would have been too complicated.
No, yeah, I think it was a hit. It definitely was, and I think it was ordered that way. As far as what I've heard from it, he was captured and then killed. So,
you know, if it happened, I mean, I'm not going to enter. It's our policy on the Freedom Fiends podcast not to strongly entertain conspiracy theories and just take things at the value and talk about what's wrong with what they admit. Yeah. I think he's either dead. I think he was either killed last week, or he's been dead a long time. That's a theory too, that he died of liver failure and they've been keeping him on ice so they could trot him out when they needed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if he were still alive, you'd see another video from him within a week.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he were still alive, there's no way you can fake his death. They must have known he was dead, because, yeah, if he's still alive somewhere, all he has to do is make a video, you know, to make us look like complete idiots. So he obviously hasn't done that yet.
And a thing that's really being underplayed in the news is the U.S. trained the guy. You know, the CIA trained him to deal with the Russians like 25 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was part of, you know, the Mujahideen when America wanted to stop the Soviet expansion into Afghanistan. And I mean, I'm not sure if he was a CIA asset, but they definitely helped him out with arms and direction and things like that. And he helped them out. You know, it was a mutual situation. In fact, Al-Qaeda is, you know, sort of that old network that they made back when they were fighting the Soviets. So
I'd say instead of people chanting and saying, "Yay, we got this horrible killer," we should say, "Yay, we finally mopped up what we created."
Exactly, yeah. It was our mess in the first place. And a lot of people don't get that. They think we've destroyed some evil person who just all of a sudden one day decided to kill us because we can eat a Big Mac or a Whopper, and that's as much freedom as we have.
No, he wanted to kill us because we've got troops over there pretending like, you know, we're the police of the world.
And because of Israel, he routinely says why he wants to kill us. He wants to kill us because of American foreign policy, and it doesn't go anywhere beyond that. He doesn't care about our decadence or our quote-unquote freedoms, which we don't really have any, so I don't know who believes in that.
Yeah. It ain't Britney Spears' boobs that he's upset about.
No, no. So it doesn't really seem to do anything other than provide closure and this sort of jingoistic attitude that's going on right now. And I worry that it's going to make things worse. You know, the war on terror may get worse instead of better. And I think a lot of people were maybe happy because, oh, we finally did what we said we would do 10 years ago and $1 trillion ago. But nobody's saying this is the end of the war on terror. Nobody's saying this is the end of the war in Iraq or Afghanistan. We're just going to keep getting all the bad things that come with the empire.
Worms. Isn't burial at sea usually reserved for heroes?
Yeah, that was really weird too. I mean, why bury him in the sea?
And it's not Muslim compliant. Muslims don't bury in the sea, you know, unless you die in the sea.
At sea, yeah, that's the thing. If you die on some naval voyage, yeah, you can get buried at the sea. But even if you're at the sea but you're close to shore, you're supposed to go to shore and be put in the ground as soon as they can. And yet they throw him in the sea, and then they say that it was to comply with Muslim, the way they do things. I don't see what purpose that serves for them. Who made that call? And if that's not really what happened, why are they saying it?
It's PC.
It's PC, but it's fake though. I mean, if it's not true, who made that call to pitch it that way? That seems like a really weird PR move no matter what happened. Either way, I think that's just a funny thing to say, that we buried him at sea and it was because of our respect for Muslim tradition.
I also think that as far as all the kids doing the gunless AK dance in the street, I think even if you believe in America, I think you have no right, you haven't earned any right to say, "We did this," unless you've been in the military.
Well,
what did we do? What were those kids doing? Those kids were watching Dancing with the Stars when this happened.
Well, no, those kids paid sales tax and income tax, and those kids had their freedoms taken away. You know, those kids have had to deal with growing up in this horrible economy that comes from the war and the foreign policy. So we've suffered. The thing is, they're celebrating because they think it's going to bring some type of end to their fear or suffering, but I think it only goes even more downhill from where it's at.
Sheep.
Bleat, bleat, bleat.
Bleat, 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 yo. I'm done with this topic, if you are.
I'm totally done with this topic. I'm sick of it.
So, Deactivated Gun Collectors Association. Did you see that link?
I saw that link you sent me, and that's... it is very sad. I don't understand how that works, and it just sort of makes my heart go out to them.
Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, it's these guys in England who collect deactivated guns. They say it's for serious gun lovers. This is where the serious gun lovers in England go, apparently, according to this website. It says it's not for people who enjoy replicas or stupid stuff like that. Only deactivated guns, which I guess are guns that they've neutered, Michael?
Yeah, they show on the site, I'll link it, how they neuter them. You basically, you take the barrel out and you use a arc welder and you cut a hole down the side of it, and then you put a pin inside it, and then you take out the firing pin and do a few other things to it. I mean, it hurt me to see the pictures. It looked like watching a friend getting a lobotomy or something.
Yeah, it's almost sick.
Someone, Kyle Bennett, said it's like collecting porn with black bars over everything, you know, or porn collection for a eunuch. I mean, I kind of look at it like if the government banned you having a woman but let you have porn with black bars over everything.
Right. It strikes me as also a sad state of affairs when people are that meek, and it's sort of a legal positivist attitude. You know, when you read the website, it says, you know, we love guns, but we have to comply with all the laws on the books or something like that. And it's like, why? Why do you have to do what the government forces you to do if it's wrong?
Yeah.
I went to the DMV, or actually here in Franklin County, you go to the county auditor's office to get the title changed if you buy a car. And the state made my wife cry. It's just ridiculous how many different little obstacles they put in the place of everything. So we bought a car. It was $250, a 1992 Oldsmobile Achieva. And as in, we need to achieve a better income so we can get a different car. So we go there. First of all, the lady who looks like Jabba the Hutt is sitting at the desk, and she looks at this title of sale because Jessica bought this. Jessica's my wife. She bought it from her coworker who sold it to us for $250. $250 for a car, no matter what it is, you know, that's a steal, and at least it's something that drives. Lady sees the thing and she's like, oh, what does this say? Jessica's like, that's my name. And she's like, oh, it just looks like scribble. And she's like, yeah, that's my signature. That's how I sign my name. And she's like, oh, well, if they can't read it, you know, they might reject it. She's like, but that's my real signature. That's what it looks like on my bank statement, on my driver's license. She gives her the driver's license, which is from Texas. She looks at it and she's like, oh, you need to have a Washington license. So apparently you have to have a Washington driver's license in Washington to buy a car and have it registered in Washington. So we can't do that. She can't take care of the license because the state of Texas has suspended her license in Texas, so she can't get a Washington driver's license. You have 15 days to get the car approved as the new title. So she's not going to get her license in 15 days. So basically, it's illegal for her to buy a car at this point in Washington state. Just a simple thing, a voluntary action, buying a car from her coworker for an agreed upon dollar set. The government is not going to give it any legitimacy. We had to put it in my name because I'm the only one with Washington's driver's license. So something so simple as her friend wanting to sell her a car one day becomes nothing but a big mess and doesn't even get legitimized by the government that claims to have all this power and control over our lives.
I hate that stuff.
It's just, in a nutshell, the state just seems there to take away any simplicity that life would have on its own if there were no set of rules and regulations that control everything.
You know, I think that all that kind of neutering of your daily life that the government does, it's supposed to make people more compliant, but I think it doesn't. I think it does the opposite. I mean, you look at England, which is kind of like us in 10 years or us on steroids as far as civil liberties being gone. They have this huge problem with, you know, hooliganism and thugs and people stabbing people and just beating people up for no reason. You know, there's less gun violence than there is here, but there's a lot more overall violence.
In places like Europe and England?
Yeah. I've never been in a soccer riot, but I've been on a train, on a subway in Germany and in Ireland when there was a soccer game going on and people were coming to or from it. And it's fucking scary. It's like, and these are when they're being well behaved. I mean, it's like more bad vibe testosterone than I've almost ever been around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and especially with the like when it was England versus Ireland in Dublin. I mean, that was kind of scary.
Well, doesn't it make sense that the more controlling, the more violent your government, the more violent the people are going to be? I mean, they're going to mimic whatever the rules of society are or the attitude in society is. And the more government, the more the attitude is, you know, you do this because we have force, because we have power over you. So I could totally see anybody who lives, it's sort of a correlation there. The bigger government, the more violence.
That's a good explanation. I saw a documentary on Discovery Channel about the social considerations for architecture for designing stadiums. And there was this really good example of central planning gone wrong in one of the most extreme ways I've ever seen. It was in England some years back as a response to soccer hooliganism, you know, basically as a response to people at soccer events running out onto the field and being crazy. They decided to, instead of having open seating, they kind of made pens. Like they separated it up into like five fenced off areas on each side of the stadium. And
wow,
people
kind of like free speech zones.
Yeah. But people died because of this. I mean, people like were funneling into this pen and the people in back couldn't see how many people were in the front. So people just kept coming in until the people in the front were getting crushed to death. And people in the front were trying to pass their children up over the top of the front to get them out of there and save their lives. And the cops thought they were running out on the field and like used clubs and forced them back down into the pens.
Wow. Where did this happen?
England.
In England. Wow.
Yes. The land of neutered guns. And, you know, I was thinking about the neutered gun site. I'm kind of surprised that they let people have neutered guns because, you know, you could use them in a crime to bluff. But I think they like the idea of neutered guns. Like, we're going to let you have these as a reminder of what you've lost.
You right, know? Right. It's almost like sending you a picture of your own nuts that got chopped off. I think it really is. I mean,
and letting you pay for them because these neutered guns cost more than guns. And guns
because the work has to be done to deactivate them,
right,
or because of
right.
some kind of government market manipulation?
Both. You have to buy a real gun and get a person certified in neutering them to do the work to neuter them. And I'm sure there's licensing on top of it. And when guns were legal in the UK, they cost way more than they do. Guns are semi-legal in Australia. And I have a buddy in Australia who, about the same month that I bought my 357 revolver, the big one that's the Ruger that's in almost every scene of our movie, my friend in Australia, right around the same time, bought that same gun in Australia. And my experience with buying it was I went into a store and I put $550 on the table and I walked out, you know, filled out one form and walked out with it. And he had to go through just incredible amounts of, he had to like join a gun club, get certified, and he paid like three times what I paid for it. And
wow.
Then he had to get a government permit, and then he had to get two safes and then have them cemented to the floor in his home.
Did two people have to put their palm on the palm reader?
No, it's one for the ammo. No, it's one for the ammo and one for the gun, and they have to have different combinations. And he has to allow the police to come in his home anytime they want and search it
to make sure that his gun's in that condition.
Yeah.
Wow. Do they keep cameras on the safes to make sure? That's next, though, right? As they get more efficient?
Probably. New York State is passing a bunch of really horrid gun laws this month or this legislative season.
Is it really? Like what?
Requiring registration of everything that wasn't required to be registered before, requiring ammo restrictions. Mainly, they're trying to make it so any new gun sold there has to ballistically print the serial number on the brass.
Ugh.
Which is
weren't they talking about doing that in California too?
Yeah,
people have talked about this before.
It's not technically possible or, you know, economically feasible now. It's going to add $1,000 or more to the price of any gun if they do it.
Right. So then would that create a black market for non-marked brass? I mean, what are you going to do with all that non-marked brass you have sitting there? That would they make it illegal?
Well, no, the gun marks it as it fires it.
The gun marks it. Okay.
Yeah. But they also want to require serial numbering of boxes being recorded when you buy something. I mean, the main problem, there's two huge problems with this logistically. One is that you can really easily alter a gun not to do that. Another is that revolvers keep the brass. They don't expel the brass. And the other is that if someone wants to commit a murder and frame you for it, all they have to do is follow you around at the gun range and pick up your brass, drop, and then pick up their brass at the crime scene and drop your brass. And then you're going to have to hire a lawyer to prove that it wasn't you.
That's very true. Yeah, there's always unintended consequences, especially to things as silly and restrictive as this.
Yeah.
There's going to be a million ways around it. There's going to be a million ways that it confuses things and gets in the way of life as we know it. Okay, so these are just in the legislature right now. They need to be voted on, or what's the process?
There's like eight bills, and you know, one or two of them have been passed. They're waiting for the governor to sign them, and they'll probably all pass.
You think it'll... I mean, that'll be big news if something like that passes.
Yeah, it's like New York is going the opposite direction of Wyoming. Like we're legalizing concealed carry without a permit, and you could never... It's really hard to get a permit in New York. It's like California.
No. Although Wyoming's doing some pretty status stuff too, you know, like the banning spice thing. Did they do the banning bath salts thing yet there?
I think that came and went before they noticed.
Okay. It seems to me there's been a lot of this kind of stuff lately, Michael. I mean, the feds shut down online poker. So people who play poker online can't do it anymore. Fox News, actually, who's that British guy they have that fills in sometimes for Cavuto?
Yeah.
He was interviewing a guy who was a professional online poker player. And the feds apparently seized people's accounts who had accounts with these online poker places. This guy had like $250,000 in his account that now is just frozen because the government decided that people shouldn't be able to gamble on their own computer in their own home as a voluntary action. What else have they done? They started a new war recently. They murder people
with flying robots.
Well, and now they can just kill anybody with two shots to the head anywhere they want to. And they bust dairy farmers, as we portrayed in our movie. And recently, was it an FDA operation? Actually did a sting.
On the Amish. Yeah, they like going after the Amish because they're pacifists. They won't fight back.
It's really upsetting. What they actually had fake names. They were acting like they wanted to buy the milk because...
They joined a co-op
of people who want raw milk. They're people who want this product so much that they're willing to go underground to get it or go across state lines or what have you.
Well, you know, state lines, I mean, it's on the edge of a state. Going across state lines is going across town.
Right, exactly. But somehow because they passed this invisible line that somebody wrote somewhere, the feds can come in and take their property.
I just think that the stuff the government's doing is going to completely delegitimize it to everybody. I mean, it's one thing for the armchair Republican or Democrat statist to say, well, they should be going after those drug dealers because those people don't know any drug dealers. But sooner or later, it's going to get something that comes home to them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is only two outcomes. Either, you know, people start to realize how ridiculous this stuff is, and it seems like it's getting more ridiculous as the days go by, or people just tune out and just accept it. And a lot of people are doing that. I mean, that's how a lot of people feel about the TSA, even now that they're touching people's googly parts. It's like a litmus test. There are a certain amount of people who will always just say, oh, well, I defer to the authority. No matter who it is, whoever is the authority, I defer to it. And then there are people like us who are like, oh my God, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever convince that other half or however many it is. I think sometimes once you're there, you're there.
Yeah.
Taxation is essentially taking property from you. It doesn't matter that they're promising to provide a service. It would still be theft if I knocked on your door and promised to protect you from vandals and then demanded money for it. The mafia does this and it's called a protection racket. But when the government does it, it's called public service.
So last week there was a guy we talked about who said that you shouldn't mix guns and weed in your activism. That guy from Montana, the medical marijuana user who's the hunter, and we dispelled that. Right. And I thought about something. It's like the problem I didn't even mention I have with that is the thing with critique is like you can sweat blood for months, 80 hours a week to make something. And then someone who's never made anything says, oh, you shouldn't have done this, which is kind of a lesser complaint than his basic reasoning because, you know, we criticize things from the government that take a lot of time and effort, but really it's, I have to weigh anything anybody says negative with, well, what the f*** have you done? Which is why at the end of my movie DIY or Die, and at the end of my book, $30 Film School, in big letters at the end of both, it says, now go make your own movie.
Right, exactly.
Which is something I got from, there used to be this punk rock band in Austin way before your time called the Big Boys. And they used to end every show with the singer like barking into the microphone, "Now go start your own band." And that was like the last thing after the last song, which I always thought was really cool.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that's totally cool. But yeah, back to your point about the government spends lots of times and money on things. Whenever the government spends time and money, it's time and money that they stole.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were saying, you know, some people were questioning the DNA of testing of Bin Laden. You know, how can they do it so quick? I think a government probably can do something
absolutely.
Like that really quick.
Absolutely.
But they don't do it in an economically efficient way. It's because they're stealing more and more money and time from you because they bought the latest gadget with your money and because they're paying the highest expert all the money they can pay him.
And even if we want to play minarchist for a minute, I have a problem with that they were able to do that instantly when there are rape victims in Los Angeles who've waited 5 years to get a DNA test.
Right, right. There are actual American citizens who need stuff like that, maybe more. I think that's another good point about the Bin Laden thing is, did people really feel like he's somehow an imminent threat to us still? Like he has any power to really kill us? Is he an imminent threat or...
I'm done with him.
Done with him.
I'm done with him. Let's move on. So, unless you really got something to say, I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, I'm sick of it too.
I've watched less TV this week than usual. So, I was reading this thing about the Cato Institute, who, by the way, have not yet reviewed our movie, nor has Reason Magazine, who I've sent like copies to like five of their top people there. I don't think they ever will.
They don't I don't think they like the more anarchist bent. Yeah. They don't like the more radical stuff.
I mean, Cato is inside the Beltway libertarianism. Reason, I don't know if I'd call them quite that, but they lean that. They're literally inside the Beltway. I used to live like 8 blocks in D.C. from... their offices, I mean, I know where it was. It's been there forever. And they are literally inside the Beltway. But it's interesting. The Cato Institute has this thing when they train people to be activists in libertarianism to always wear a suit and tie. And and I was thinking about that. It's like, you and I wore suits and ties in the movie. But I don't think it's what they meant.
Yeah, that's not what they meant. They meant they want you to fit in. They want their philosophy is to be part of the establishment and then try to change things. But the problem is they've become part of the establishment then.
Yeah.
They've defeated their own purposes by that implicit action. So it doesn't really work for me.
Words.
But, oh well.
I still go back to like one of the things that could make LibPair is more independent auditing organizations. I found another one besides Consumer Reports and Better Business Bureau is Underwater Laboratories. I mean, Underwriters Laboratories.
The first one sounded a bit cooler.
Well, they do work. They do work for the government, so maybe they are underwater. But they've been around for like 100 years, and they certify machinery and electrical equipment and safes and things like that. And they do a good job. You know, if you're ever going to buy a safe, Boston says you should get the one with the UL improvement on it, because basically what they do is they have a team that tests safes that get the blueprint for the safe, and if they can't crack it within a certain amount of time, they'll put their seal on it.
Nice, nice.
And they do the same thing with electrical devices to make sure that they're not going to kill you.
And they're a completely private organization, and this information's free to anybody who would want to purchase it. Not free, but available.
Available, yeah. Anybody can pay them to test it. They do work for the government. Okay. I mean,
of government contracts.
They get government contracts. They're not part of the government, but the government likes them enough to have hired them for things. But they do a lot of stuff for independent companies, too.
Okay, okay. I've got a tyranny today, if we've got time.
Okay.
And now, the Nima News with Nima Vidati.
And now for your daily dose of nanny statism in our daily segment, Tyranny Today.
Tyranny Today.
So in Bahrain, you know, they've got a lot of protests going on. The government there is trying to charge about 50 medical workers because the medical workers were treating people who'd been injured in the protests there. So the government beat these people up and then is charging the people who took care of these beat up people that the government beat up. They're charging them with anti-state conspiracy for treating wounded protesters.
Really?
Really, really. And so that's...
Isn't that part of the Geneva Convention that you can't charge someone with terrorism? I mean, that's that it's not giving aid to the enemy to stitch their wounds?
I would think so, but apparently the rule of law is just forgotten about everywhere now. And I think that's... It's a good thing that we make sure tyranny today is not just tyranny in America. We're talking about tyranny all over the world. All governments our violence, not just the American government. And I think this was a good example. That's why I picked it, because it's important to note the way the state media is spinning this. They said that these people who did nothing but help injured people, quote, violated all humanitarian, religious, ethical, and genuine citizenship values and norms and turned into barbarous crimes.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Another example of how state-connected media, or even state-influenced or state-enthralled media like we have here in America, how they can change people's, not change people's perceptions, but just spit outright propaganda in deference to violence.
Well, doctors take an oath that they will help anybody, too.
Right, that's the Hippocratic Oath, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. So, it appears that around the world, governments are nothing but violence and don't care about the rule of law or real social norms and care about nothing but ensuring their own power and dominion over the people they claim to have dominion over.
So it's not like the TV show and movie MASH where Hawkeye, who hates the war, is there as a doctor and is okay with being a doctor there.
Exactly. And I'm not real familiar with MASH. Okay, so there was an anti-war doctor on MASH who was just there because he was helping people. He was helping save lives.
It's a TV show that took place in the Korean War. It was on when I was a kid. It was based on a movie. And it actually, the TV show ran longer than the Korean War did. It's a wartime comedy that was kind of had anti-war underpinnings. Yeah, the doctor on it, I mean, he was there. He was drafted, but he was there and being a really good doctor, sewing people up. And he constantly made comments about how horrible war is and how it didn't make any sense, but he was there being a doctor.
Right, right.
And doing a good job of it.
Right. Well, more power to him, even though he's a fictional character.
Yeah, although there's one scene in that where he's out trying to rescue somebody and he's with another soldier who has two guns and people start shooting at them and the other soldier hands the doctor a gun and says shoot back and he just can't do it even though he's being shot at. So he's a pussy.
So he's a pacifist.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's important that we make that distinction between pacifist and non-aggression. I mean, we do that in our movie. It is okay to defend yourself from violence with violence.
Yeah. It's not aggression to do that.
Right, because then actually you're preventing aggression from happening. If somebody aggresses with me and I prevent it, even if I have to do that by killing them, I've prevented aggression because I wasn't aggressing if I acted in self-defense. So no aggression happened.
Worms. So I had a funny hip-hop experience recently.
Yeah?
I was out where we shot a lot of the movie out in that state land, going out to try out my new gun. I was by myself. My wife was at work, and I just took the car and went out there with some guns, and I was unpacking my stuff. All of a sudden, I heard like a car in the distance driving up playing hip hop. And there's not a lot of cars out there, so you notice when someone's coming, but they're playing hip hop. And it's really rare to hear that in Wyoming, especially
now
out
that
there.
I'm gone.
Yeah, especially out there in the middle of nowhere. And I literally like instantly went from condition white to condition orange and like, you know, checked my sidearm and made sure I was ready to defend myself because I heard hip hop coming.
Really?
And then I realized it was my iPod playing our music and I'd accidentally turned it on.
Nice, nice. So it was our own Take Over Your Neighborhood music that made you fear your neighborhood was being taken over.
Yes. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, explain that. You used to always tell me not to play hip-hop when I rolled up to your house when we were working on the movie because it made you feel like somebody was taking over your neighborhood.
Well, because in California, people that were taking over my neighborhood and acting aggressively always played hip-hop.
Yeah, and it was our music, huh? How was your day at the range? How did shooting the Glock go?
And the statement of, you know, taking over my neighborhood, I mean, anybody has the right to move anywhere. I'm not saying that's not true, but that's more of a statement of how I think people even squarer than me perceive hip-hop as take over the neighborhood music. Mm-hmm. The Glock was great, man. I love it. And, you know, it's probably foolish of me to talk on the internet about my new Glock and name it by model number and stuff. I was thinking about this recently. Boston says in his book, you know, own guns quietly. And I do not own guns quietly because I'm really still excited about them. And after 3 years of having them, they're still kind of new to me. But You know, I have this theory that the way people register their guns now isn't by having to register with the government. They just post a picture of it on Facebook, and then the government sees that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think that, of course, under normal circumstances would hold up in any court of law, but apparently there is no rule of law anymore.
Yeah, but the government would probably think I own a lot more guns than I do, because I generally sell guns and buy new ones. It's not like I just keep adding to my collection. It's like I kind of get sick of one. But I think the Glock is like the end of the search with handguns. And Boston's Gun Bible, if I'd gone with that, I would have saved a lot of money and time, because it just basically says, get a Glock, put some tritium sights on it, and be done with it, and move on to rifles.
Did you get those sights yet?
Ordered them.
Nice.
Got to have them put on by a gunsmith. Nice.
I was out at the range the other day, too, and shot the Mosin. I found this thing in the trash. It was a cast iron frying pan, and shot it at about 75 yards with the Mosin. Mosin bullets just sliced through it like butter. Like they were perfect holes, and you could see the rifling on this quarter or half. No, it was like a half inch thick. Just solid metal, and just slice through it like butter.
You could see the rifling, like it imprinted the rifling from the bullet?
Yeah, I'm thinking that, you know, I must have had, you know, some dirtiness on the rifling, because, you know, sometimes when you find a jacket or something, it'll have those black streaks that were the rifling residue. You could see those on the bullet hole inside of the frying pan that I shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It really was.
So it's armor piercing. It's not technically made to be armor piercing, but you know, that is armor.
With I think within 100 yards,
if someone was shooting at you from their car and you shot back, it would probably go through their car door. No
it
problem.
Would definitely go through a car door. Yeah, no
yeah
problem.
Well, I think it would do it a lot more at 100 yards. Mosins would probably do that at 400 or 500 yards, and are lethal up to 1,000 yards.
Right.
They're not very accurate at 1,000 yards, but...
Well, maybe the old sniper ones would be. I mean, weren't there some confirmed kills that were that close to it? Not your normal 9130 that you get at Big Five, but the $500 one you get might do it.
Maybe. Yeah, they vary from individual model to individual model. It's not like modern machined guns that two of the same model are going to be very similar in performance. There's a lot of variation between Mosin and Mosin because they were... turned out really quickly with old technology on a lathe by
conscripted labor
by illiterate conscripts. Yeah.
They are beautiful though, and they are fun.
Actually, a lot of them were built by women because the men were all conscripted.
Right. The men were all out there sharing one Mosin between two dudes.
Yeah, there was some battle in Russia where they had fewer rifles than they had men, so they gave. But they had enough ammo, so they gave every guy 15 rounds and then gave half the guy rifles and said, just go out there and wait till another guy gets shot and take his rifle.
Which one would you want to be? Would you want to be the first in line or the second in line?
Well, depends whether I'm being brave or smart.
You think if you were smart, you'd want to be the one that's second in line, right? Buy yourself a little time. Or maybe not. I mean, maybe the ones without guns maybe would be the first ones to die because they're not shooting.
Or maybe the guys in front... maybe the shooters would use them to zero their rifles. Mm. so the second guy would be more likely to get
hit. Right.
So there's a company here. It's actually all over the country, but it's called Liberty Tax Service.
Yeah, I know. It's an oxymoron.
I got a friend that says, what do? Burn your tax forms for you? And there's a lot of things called Liberty. And
Liberty Insurance for car insurance that you're forced to buy.
Yeah. The only one that makes sense to me is there's a catheter company called Liberty Catheters. And I suppose that if you needed to pee in a bag, you would find good catheters liberating.
I think so. But yeah, that kind of sums up the current state of government, right? That's our current state of liberty is a catheter.
Yeah. Word. So did you want to expand a little on the theory of governments are like abusive spouses?
You sort of came to talking about this because of the normal comments of, if you don't like America, you can get out.
But you can't, because all of the countries are like that, and most of them are worse. And like Boston said 15 years ago, America is just the healthiest patient in the cancer world.
Right, exactly. And yeah, it is. It's like an abusive spouse, you know? You get beat up if you leave me kind of thing. And people do. They get beat up with taxes, and they're, you know, a lot of people are worried about that, you know, even as the government gets more tyrannical. Like, are they going to start imposing different fees for leaving? different tax penalties, more tax penalties?
Well, they don't let you leave. If you try to secede, they beat you up and throw you in a cage. Or even if you try to just be sovereign on your own property. You know, we saw that in Wyoming. They took the guy's land.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, if you try to leave the abusive spouse, they beat you up and throw you in a cage and take everything you have.
Right, right. And implicit in that, getting thrown in the cage is being raped by by dudes.
Yeah, being raped by other men. You know, talk about an abusive spouse. Think about a husband that would not like his wife criticizing him, so he throws her in a dungeon and then lets other men or encourages other men to go in and rape her.
Right, right. And a lot of people, like we were explaining earlier, just bleed at this. They think if you go to jail for anything, if you do something illegal, you should be in jail. And part of being in jail is getting raped.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are people who have been literally abused by their real spouse who think that this is hyperbole, but I don't think it is, because some people manage to leave abusive spouses.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not everybody, exactly, not everybody's the same, and not everybody takes to authority the same way. And some people, I guess, just are more prone to Stockholm syndrome.
Politics is like football. If both teams sucked, better teams weren't allowed in the league, and you're a bad person if you question the need for any of the teams.
That's about true, isn't it? And that's the situation we have. It upsets me, people who still have the delusion that, you know, all we have to do is have our team win. Red team wins, then we're good. Or if you're on the other side, blue team wins, we're good. But I mean, it seems every time we get a president, every time we get a new leadership, things just get worse.
Well, government attracts sociopaths. I mean, the idea that you think you know better than everybody else, what kind of people is that going
to
attract?
Right, right. What kind of people want to force other people into doing what they say? It's people who are going to be power hungry and abusive.
Voting for less government is like f***ing for better celibacy.
I love that. You coined that one, didn't you, Michael?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like f***ing for better celibacy.
So I want to talk more about the DARE drug program. We touched on that recently, but I did some research on them. See, they didn't exist when I was in school, and like you said, that means I was old. I'm old. You're old.
I actually went through the DARE program. I remember it well.
They encourage people to turn their parents in.
Yeah, yeah. They're the junior spies, man. You got to have the kids on your side. The state implicitly believes that the kids are their property anyway.
That's so Soviet.
It's so. It's so statist, and that's the thing, is just because we say we're American, we grew up here in America's freedom, doesn't mean that the government is freedom, because the government's always going to be what a government is, and ours is the most powerful government in the world, which means it's probably the most tyrannical, well, I wouldn't say the most tyrannical, but it has the potential for immense tyranny.
And then there's the UN, which is the Uber government.
The Uber government.
I heard a good quote about UN Agenda 21. You know who the Unabomber was, Ted Kaczynski,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do.
And you know his motivations were allegedly, he was trying to protect the environment by killing people that he thought created technologies that hurt the environment. Somebody said that if UN Agenda 21 had existed when Ted Kaczynski was active, Ted Kaczynski would have locked his cabin and gone back to teaching math at UC Berkeley.
That goes back to the point I was trying to make, is when you do have these massive institutions with these massive dollars for force and militaries, then you have the potential of them being hijacked or infiltrated by anybody who wants to use force to change the world. And so we get this succession of people, this line of people who want to do nothing but change everybody's behavior.
At best, the end result of that is Demolition Man. At worst, it's Soviet Russia or, you know, Nazi Germany.
Or like 1984.
Yeah. You know, there's something I said in the very first episode, like 10 episodes ago, that I listened to recently again, and I never followed up on one thought. I said, there's two reasons I don't use hookers. And I said the first one, which is, you know, you probably wouldn't even end up getting sex. You'd probably get her boyfriend hitting you in the head with a brick and mugging you, you know, with a street hooker. But then I never said the second one. The second one is, I have no moral or ethical or legal problem with anyone wanting to pay for sex, but I think that anyone who pays for sex isn't really a man.
Why?
And the same thing for strip clubs. I used to date strippers, and I'd go pick them up at the strip club, and I'd go hang out with the DJ and have a soda while, you know, waiting for her to finish up. And strip clubs just depressed me. I mean, it's selling an illusion. It's not selling a real thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the same, I would imagine the same with using hookers. Now, I love porn, on the other hand. That's a different deal. But
Well, porn's a different thing. Porn's a more private consumption kind of thing.
Yeah, and porn, the woman's not looking you in the eye thinking, heh heh, sucker.
Right, right. Especially because porn you don't really have to pay for anymore.
Yeah. I know. It's funny when I get spam for porn. I'm like, what? People pay for this?
Do you still get spam for porn?
Not by email, but I do when I'm looking at free porn sites.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I don't get any spam by email. I've got it all covered,
okay,
man.
Okay, good deal, good deal. Well, should we wrap it up, man? We're about that time.
Wrap it up, B.
All right, wrap it up.
say something fluffy and wonderful.
Do I have to? I think it's your turn. I'm always the positive one.
Okay. I think that my mood speaks for itself. I think I sound like I'm in a pretty damn good mood, despite the fact that the world is falling apart. And there's people that want to kill us for thinking freely. You know, I was thinking about art. We make art. We make music. We make videos. And I'm not really an artist. I'm a propagandist. You know, I think of like music as a lyric delivery system.
Yeah. In the end, though, isn't that what all artists really are?
Yeah, there's some people that make art that's just about the imagery.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's some people that make art that's got some complicated meaning that has to be explained. I never really liked art that needed an explanation.
But I think in the end, all art is you trying to get something out that you feel, you know, inside of you. It's you wanting to say something. I think no matter what you do, it's even if it's just propaganda on a super personal level, in the end, they're kind of the same thing.
It's all about art. Whether you're painting the ceiling of the chapel or banging out three shaky chords in the garage, you are declaring your intention to smear your soul onto the veil of the infinite.
Beautiful. That's the best point. So no,
that's from my first novel, Starving and the Company of Beautiful Women.
Oh, you wrote that? I dig it, Michael. It's a beautiful thing. And I think that's how we should end the podcast.
With a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing.
Cool, man. Worms. Good chatting with
you. Worms. Peace.
All right. Peace.
And now for your dancing and dining pleasure. And now for your dancing and dining pleasure. Government is a collective hallucination by Right Arm of Wyoming. Government is a collective hallucination by Right Arm of Wyoming.
This worker was found hanging from a tree in Kentucky with the word fed written on his chest.
Government is collective hallucination based on force. Forceful operation with roots in indoctrination of kids, 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 kids.
To the grave, they want to own you. Socialist indoctrination, own you. Can't let you be free, own you. Socialist indoctrination, own you. Unconstitutional, own you. Maybe the feds will supply each senseless worker with his or her own Fed goon bodyguard to ensure their safety, but actually to make sure all the questions are answered. Remember, the census is how they knew where to find the Japanese to intern them in camps in World War II.
Government is collective hallucination based on force. Forceful operation with roots in indoctrination of kids, 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 kids.
This hanging may be remembered as the first shot in Civil War 2.0. This one won't be about race.
Not that the last one entirely was.
This one will be about state rights and rejecting tyranny. Like the last one mostly was. The feds, they want to own you. From the cradle to the grave, they want to own you. Turn this into England, where steak knives get you 4 years in prison. Declaw and disarm until they can tax you 110%. I think and fear that the U.S. federal government is tending more and more toward adopting international law over the U.S. Constitution.
Government is collective hallucination based on force. Forceful operation with roots in indoctrination of kids, 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 kids.
So let me ask you this, my young friends. Will history repeat itself? Will you go quietly to the showers? Or will you risk your life when the moment comes? Brother against brother, son against mother. I hate that it may come to this. We're generally peaceful people, but good people can only be pushed so far. And wouldn't you rather die on your feet than live on your knees?
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. bloodstream. I owe me and they include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.